Well, good morning again. When you hear testimonies and you find yourself celebrating baptism, I joke about maybe I don't need to preach, but there is a part of me that's like, let's just keep hearing the testimonies. But I'm excited to preach and I'm the pastor, so here we go. You're already here. Hey, it's Vision Sunday. If you're joining online or Olmsted Falls or Lorain campus, so thrilled that you're joining. It's Vision Sunday, and so for some of you, you just came to see a friend or family member get baptized, and so you're like, I don't really know what that is. Maybe, nor do I care. And some of you might be wondering, like, what's Pastor Tim about to say today? I'm curious. And I think most of us are probably in the middle. Life is hard, or we're busy, and we come in, and we go, okay, Vision Sunday, you tell me. Now, the truth is, let's just name reality. I have been so grateful to be the pastor here, but I'm in my end of my technically fifth month, but preaching fourth month. So for Vision Sunday, it'd be misguided for me to stand up after this short amount of time and go, here are the five things we're gonna do next. It'd also, I think, be misguided for me just to be totally passive and say, I don't know, we'll just keep trying to show up. So we're gonna try to hold the line in between what we observe God doing, what he's calling us to do, maybe observe who we are and hear from him. And this morning, I hope that no matter what, as an individual or as a church family, we're reminded of God's work in our lives and just pose the question, what's next for us as we journey with God? We're gonna look at a passage of scripture together that talk with Pastor Steve Harper this morning. He said that he doesn't remember in his 33 years at Grace it ever being preached. So we're gonna try that, see how that goes. And we're gonna hear some highlights of what God has done in this last year. I will invite you back out tonight at 5 p.m. We're gonna have light snacks at 5 p.m. and our annual meeting at 6. We're gonna vote in elders and we'll hear a lot more details tonight. But underneath any kind of talk of vision or where are we going is first a recognition that God has already been there. And so we start with memory more than some future idea. Because any vision that is disconnected from God's faithfulness is just people making stuff up to make them feel better. So what we're trying to do is just discern together what has God been doing, what's he saying to us. And remember, every year I get a little older, as we all do. And to some of you, I'm not that old, and some of you, I'm very old. But increasingly, I walk into rooms and I go, why did I walk into this room? Why? Maybe Rachel will know why I walked into this room. So I ask her and she goes, I have no idea why you walked into that room. And then I go back. And so we do this as we get older, our memory might not get any better. But in spiritual terms, if our memory starts to get less sharp, then we actually risk missing who God is and who we are. Because we just try to live in this survival moment. And as our guide into memory and then into any kind of talk of vision, I want to open the Bible to a passage of scripture in the book of Haggai. Haggai is a prophet towards the end of the Old Testament. So if you did bring your Bible, it's right at the very end of the Old Testament. I'm going to give you a little context here. Some of you are going to be tempted to check out. Hang with me for a second. It's going to feel like Sunday school for like 90 seconds, and then we'll get back to it, okay? The people of Israel, the people of God, were enslaved in Egypt. God set them free. You might have heard of Moses. Sets them free. Then Joshua takes over. Last year there was a series here in Joshua, and Joshua leads the people into the promised land. And then there's a king like David, and then they actually establish themselves. They get all kinds of the rules and rituals and all the pieces in place. But then they forget who they are. And they start to worship other gods, or they start to take God less seriously, and they're actually taken over a couple of times. And one of the most serious times that they get taken over is what is known as the Babylonian captivity. This empire called Babylon takes them over. And so in the year 586, the people of Israel cease to be the people of Israel independently, and they get taken over, and the temple is destroyed. That's where they've been going to worship every week, and it's destroyed. So now they're slaves again. 48 years later, they get set free. So a whole generation dies and is born, 48 years with no temple, and they get set free. And so within 3 years, they rebuild the altar where they're making sacrifices. If you're tracking through the chronological Bible on YouVersion or whatever, you're in it right now. You're in the middle of Leviticus and it's tough. I wanna just encourage you, just like the Cleveland winter, it will end eventually. Leviticus can be a little tough. The beauty of Leviticus is you see how seriously God takes his own holiness and the people's relationship with him and how seriously he takes sin. A lot of times when I read Leviticus, I'm just even more grateful that Jesus came and set me free so I'm not in that sacrificial system. But the people after 3 years, they rebuild the altar. And God tells them, rebuild the temple fully so you can worship me. But then 15 years goes past. So we find Haggai in the year 521. So now it's been like almost over 65 years since they were taken captive. So only the people 65 and up even remember the temple. And let's be honest, the 3-4-year-olds might not have remembered. So it's really the over 70 crowd that even remembers the temple. And now they've tried to pass down the stories, but this is where we catch them. So that's the Sunday school part. Here we catch them. Haggai chapter 1, verse 2. The Lord of the armies, that's God himself, many think Jesus himself, says this. The people say, the time has not yet come for the house of the Lord to be rebuilt. But the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to live in your paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? Now the Lord of armies says this, think carefully about your ways. You've planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough to be satisfied. You drink, but you never have enough to be happy. You put on clothes, but never have enough to get warm. The wage earner puts his wages into a bag. It's like it's got a hole in it. The Lord of the army says this, think carefully about your ways. Go up into the hills, bring down the lumber, and build the house. And I will be pleased with it and will be glorified. What happens here for the people of Israel is they get set free from captivity. They do build the altar, so now they can make the sacrifices, but they don't go all the way to do what God has asked them to do. And now they just have gotten about their lives. They build houses for themselves. They do their thing. And God comes to them and says, oh, it's interesting that you feel so disconnected from your lives and reality. May it be that it's because you have forgotten something. It's like they forgot. They forgot who God was and they forgot who they were. And this passage is not about Grace Church, but the reason I'm preaching from it today on Vision Sunday is because the risk of forgetting is our risk today. And every day, to forget how important and crucial God is and to forget who we are in relationship to him. So what did they forget or why did they forget? Well, I think they forgot their fundamental purpose was actually to be the people of God and minister to God. Because they build the altar, so they still value God, but their fundamental purpose, they haven't stewarded well. So they build houses for themselves and they do all this stuff for themselves and they forget who they are. Now, I wanna say this, that we're most at risk after we've been set free from the captivity. We're most at risk of forgetting. So when they're in slavery, they're praying every day. Now they get set free. And sometimes when we get set free from our captivity, we're like, even if we made some deal with God, I'll do whatever for you in that moment, it's hard to remember. And we're like, no, I got this actually. Maybe it was me who set myself free. That's what they do all the time. And they forget, and we're at risk of forgetting. So they forget their fundamental purpose. And then they might forget about the goodness of God and how good God is because they have made the altar so that they make the sacrifices to make sure God's not mad at them. They maintain fellowship, but going into the temple is a place of worship. And so for them, they might just forget that, wow, it's so compelling to be in God's presence. We got to get this thing done. We got to build the house. But they build houses for themselves instead. Now, to be fair, Most of these people have never even experienced the presence of God. And some might be here today going like, I'm just visiting, bro. You're coming at us pretty tough. I'm just like checking this out. I do want to say something to you and about these people. Whether you knew it or not, God's been involved in your life from day one. God's been doing stuff in your life, whether you knew it or not. We hear testimonies like that on Baptism Sunday. God was actually active and at work and doing things, whether you knew it or not. So sometimes our memory is just to connect it with, whoa, that was actually God there, not just me getting myself out of trouble. But they have forgotten about the value of God's presence. And maybe at the end of the day, they just forget about the essentials of what it means to live life with God. They forget that daily dependence on God. They think they have it themselves. And maybe sometimes their memories are bad memories. They heard about the captivity and they're like, well, if God was so good, how come we got captured in the first place? But friends, God never changes even when our circumstances do. And they were the result of their own captivity. I mean, their captivity was a result of their own actions. Sometimes we get ourselves into trouble and we're like, man, I can't believe God got me into this situation. And he's looking at us going, okay, I'll help you out again. And he does with patience, but he invites them to remember and he invites us. So friends, let's not be like the people of Israel and forget who we are. Let's not forget that this church is God's church. You know, a year ago when there was a Vision Sunday, it was right about the same time that Pastor Jonathan announced that he was going to let his name stand to become the president of our denomination. And if you were watching from the outside or if you knew and you were here, you knew he was going to get elected. I did. We all did. And Jonathan, if you're watching, you did too, bro. I know. But that was a shaking moment for Grace Church. Pastor Jonathan had been here almost 28 years, his father faithfully serving for 40 years before him. That is a monumental moment for Grace Church. Now, here's the good news. This is God's church, not Jonathan's church, not Tim's church, not Donald's church. It's true. You know, some, when Donald retired, I'm sure thought, I don't know if we're going to make it. And this, again, this isn't about me. If the Lord tarries, there's going to be another pastor beyond me, and there's going to be another. This is God's thing. The point is, we have to remember who God is and who we are. That's our task. And that's the first thinking about vision before you get to any sort of specifics, because vision doesn't just appear out of thin air. God invites us in. And as a church, some prayed that we would just survive the transition. And I was praying that too, let me tell you, all month of November. Please, God, may these people keep showing up to Sunday, please. Just give me a chance. And you've been so gracious. But again, it's not about Jonathan. It really isn't. It really isn't. It's not about a competition. You may never like me as much as Jonathan, as some never like Jonathan as much as Donald, and you may never like me as much as some other guy that you listen to during the week. I actually don't care as long as you love God with all your heart. I really don't. I really don't. Tonight at our annual meeting, we'll be celebrating all the kinds of things that God does, and I want to remind us of who we are. But first, before we talk about those things, let's just celebrate a few things that he did in 2025. I've been talking a lot about the transition, but he really was faithful to us in transition. He was faithful to us. Jonathan and Mary are thriving in their new ministry. Rachel and I get to talk to them almost every week at some level, and they miss you a ton. But God called them and he's equipping them and they're doing amazing ministry. We also, it's really the hand and faithfulness of God, this next slide, that we journey together and that over 5,000 people gather for worship every week in some venue connected to Grace Church. And that we've had 500 people, just short, in 2025, begin a relationship with Jesus. Now here's why this is so crucial. Half the year there wasn't a pastor. We were in the middle of a historic transition. And that's what God kind of winks at the church and goes, I got this, watch. People are gonna follow me. I'm the one who's gonna save people and change people. And then we got to celebrate with so many. 342 people last year got baptized. That's amazing. And by God's grace, the trend went up from 220 to 302 to 342. Praise God. Last year, people at Grace Church gave over $7 million to the work of the kingdom here locally and around the globe. That's a lot of money. That could have been invested personally in our own houses or storehouses or whatever and was given to say, God, you're more important. I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to give sacrificially. And I've mentioned last week and often that over $1.5 million of that was given to overseas missions. I don't have time this morning to highlight all of our ministries. I really wish I did. So come back tonight and we will. But this morning, I do want to just say, so grateful for all the different kinds of leaders and ministries we have here at Grace Church. We have amazing support and recovery ministries. I'm going to highlight those in just a second. But so grateful for all lives changed. Those were highlighted, 12 of those groups were highlighted in October of last year. We have a thriving youth ministry and young adult ministry. Over 300 high schoolers came to the Move event last year, and 200 went on a retreat, high school and middle schoolers, just last weekend. So grateful for that ministry. And our young adult ministry is growing, averaging over 100 on a week. And if you're in that 20-something range, I would love to have you come out on a Wednesday night. Our local outreach team is passionate about our local communities, and I hear stories all the time about ministry in schools and ministry connected with all kinds of organizations. Last year, we did a Browns outreach. We're gonna have, and over 1,000 people came. We're gonna have the tomb out that some of you know coming soon. Roy and his team will have that, and we'll get to share the Easter story with our local community. We celebrate these things because they're God's story being lived out in our midst. They're not just like ministry leaders' passions that we celebrate. It's God's intention to draw people to himself. And God comes to the people in the book of Haggai who actually had experienced all kinds of things from God. And when I see slides like this and feel encouragement on a baptism Sunday, I'm both encouraged and also drawn into that moment of dependence to remember that churches can lose their way. And we must not. Churches can forget about God. I've seen it happen. And they forget who they are. But as it's up to me, and as it's up to us, we won't be one of those churches. I want to remind you of our mission statement. Some of you know this if you became a member. Maybe you've seen this in places. That our mission statement is that our purpose is to exalt Jesus Christ, him first, by making disciples who love Jesus, who grow with others, and who serve the world. That's a pretty clear mission. Like, that's who we are. And let me give you a slide, maybe a different angle to give you a visual of how to remember this. That really what we're called to do is first prioritize our up relationship with God, our worship of God. Like, his worship, our discipleship with him has to be our first priority. And if we neglect our worship of Jesus, it's over. Then we just become like a community club. But then we also, as Grace Church, have to invest in relationships, community, authentic, honest, repentance, recovery, all kinds of relationships that help us grow. And then we have to serve the world, serve our community. And if you just do the up, it's hard to just do the up and not end up in the others. But if you just do the up and the in, then you just become lazy Christians who are like, what's my new podcast? What's my new worship song? And Jesus is calling us to serve. If we're just up and out, then we burn out because we have to have encouragement. And so we're gonna continue to be that church. This is really who we've been. So as I look around our church, I do feel things stirring in my heart, but this is really largely who we've been and who we'll continue to be. I do want to say again that God has sustained and grown Grace Church in phenomenal ways over the last 70 years. And it's easy for me to say because I had nothing to do with it. This church has been a light in Cleveland and around the world, missionary sent. And we should celebrate the fact that this church has been led, unlike so many tragic stories that you read on the news or that you hear from friends or family or whatever. This church has been led by people with integrity, most of them named Schaefer, but leadership teams and elders and staff who have led with integrity, who have not held secrets, who have not tried to make this about themselves. And by God's grace, we're going to continue to live in the light and continue to expose evil and continue to say this is his church and not to go the way of so many who lose perspective and make it all about them. And as I look around, there's so much to celebrate. One of the, you know, most churches and most Christians really have the same mission to like know God and make him known, to exalt Jesus and make him known. So our mission statement is clear. It's fairly common, and that's actually good. All of us Christians should be doing similar things. But every church and every person has kind of a unique assignment on their lives, like even for just a moment in time or a season. Like every individual here has maybe a unique calling or assignment. One of those things that grace over the years has become, one of our assignments, is to be a place of healing. We have recovery ministries and making peace and emotionally healthy spirituality and a counseling center, and AA uses our building, and Fresh Start for guys coming out of prison, and deliverance prayer and groups for grief and battered spouses. This, in many ways, I heard it prayed this week at an elder meeting, is like a hospital. And that is beautiful. That's beautiful. C.T. Studd, who's a pioneer missionary, said, "Some wish to live within the sound of a church or chapel bell. I'd rather run a rescue shop within a yard of hell." In other words, I don't want to just do some religious thing. Let's get somewhere where the enemy is going to be mad and people need saved and broken. And grace has been that place. And I'm so honored to carry on leadership here in a place like that. But every church with an assignment like ours then has to steward it with all kinds of strategy and integrity and good leadership so that the lost would be found and the broken would be restored and that marriages and young people and those who would never fit inside of a country club kind of church would not only be welcomed but discipled, developed, and empowered to do the work of the ministry. Our church has also been a church that's focused on the globe since the very beginning. We've been in one of the top three giving churches in our whole denomination for a long time. That's because leaders just believe lost people around the world deserve an opportunity to hear, and without somebody going to them, how are they gonna hear? Paul outlines that in Romans 10. We're gonna celebrate that starting in 1 week. So we've sent mobilized missionaries to the least reached, and we're not gonna stop. It's one of our assignments. Matthew 24:14 says the gospel, this gospel of the kingdom, will be preached to all people, and then the end will come. So until Jesus comes back, we're gonna keep doing that. There's so many other things that I could share, but underneath some of these joys of doing ministry together is a phrase like this that I feel like describes us. This isn't like, you don't need to put this on a t-shirt yet, but you might hear me talk about things like this over the next year. That what grace is really about is extending the transformative love of Jesus to our neighbors and to the nations. This love that isn't just a make you feel better kind of love, but transforms everything. Transforms our lives, our eternities. And that kind of love is meant to be shared, not guarded. To all of our neighbors, to neighbors in Northeast Ohio, to neighbors in Middleburg Heights and to West Park and Olmsted Falls and to our Spanish-speaking neighbors and neighbors in prison and all the people that we meet in between. If we cease to be an externally focused church, we will cease to be a flourishing church. Not overnight, but it'll come. Because when you start just worrying about yourself, then you start just thinking about yourself, and God is always coming for that next lost sheep, and so he calls us to join him. Speeding towards the end in the last few minutes this morning, those verses in Haggai 1 weren't the end of the chapter, or the end of the book. it keeps going. And then in chapter 2, God comes to the leaders. And you remember Joshua who took the people into the promised land? There's a new Joshua in the book of Haggai. And that Joshua is now called to be strong and courageous, just like another Joshua. And the other people are called to be strong and courageous three times. People have never really experienced the temple. People have never really experienced what this was, to be strong and courageous and not to forget. And then let me read you these verses. Verse 3. Actually, I'm going to jump to verse 5. Chapter 2, verse 5. This is the promise I made to you when you came out of Egypt as from slaves, remember? And my spirit is present among you. Don't be afraid. For the Lord of armies says this, once more in a little while, I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all the nations so that the treasures of all the nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of armies. The silver and gold belong to me. This is the declaration of the Lord of armies. It's a good verse of giving and tithing, by the way. The final glory, verse 9, of this house will be greater than the first, says the Lord of armies. I will provide peace in this place. This is the declaration of the Lord of armies. Here's what God is saying to them. There's a new day coming where there is going to be a new temple rebuilt. But then the glory of God will fill that temple. And there will be one that comes that fills it all the way up. And that glory is going to way outshine even King David, even the glory days. If we apply this, this is not about whose era of Grace Church will be better. That's not actually what it's about. It's that if we continue to fix our eyes on Jesus and his glory shines, he continues to fill it up all the way until he returns. It's our job to keep our hand to the plow, to keep working until he returns. So the invitation to you as an individual today is, has God said to you in the past, in your unique assignment, hey, rebuild the temple, and you got distracted, and you started doing something else, and maybe it went on for a while, he comes back to you and goes, hey, remember, I'm who I said I was, you're who you say, you're who I say you are, so get back to work. Build the temple, finish it. Maybe you're somebody who's just been building and building and building for a long time, and God goes, the future glory is coming. Don't worry. Don't give up. But to us as a church, the invitation is that we would never put our hands to something that is temporal or will pass away or will lose our perspective. Our focus always needs to be on the one who calls, on the one who guides, on the one who empowers. He's the focus. And he will continue to be our focus as long as I'm the pastor of Grace Church. So you might not like my style, but we're gonna talk a lot about Jesus. And we're gonna be externally focused because that's what he calls us to do. And we're gonna continue to build the temple if that's what he asks us to do. And we're gonna do it all for his glory. Does that sound good? All right. Let's pray together. Not by might, not by our strength, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And so we give you, God, the center focus. We give you, God, the invitation to continue to build what you're doing here, to continue to give us what we need. God, we choose to follow you. And I ask that you would protect us, God, from ourselves, from forgetting. Would you help us remember all your faithfulness for all these years?